It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And one of the events that Ed Dallas noted this morning when we chatted was the migration of geese. And I have heard a couple of flocks that were very high, and I was unable to locate them. I live about a mile west of the Mississippi River, and oftentimes the geese are sort of using the river as their highway to the south. And the other day I was standing in my yard and I heard these geese coming, and they were not very high. And I started looking, and I was a little confused because it sounded like a huge flock. It was north of me, it was south of me, and I couldn't tell what exactly was going on. Well, as things unfolded, I realized that there was a very large flock of birds, probably 50 or more, to the north of me. There were two that flew right over my head, and there were another 15 or 20 that were south of me, and they were from the southern group to the northern group were probably a mile apart, but they were all headed in the same direction. And I can't help but think that there was maybe some argument among the group, and they just decided that the 12 of them just decided to leave and go their own path, but not really leave, just kind of fly alongside the other group, but not with them. It was my own speculation, of course, but it was interesting to see, and you may have seen some geese flying by your place as well. Notes about the red maples, they are primarily done. You know, the brightest, reddest ones in my yard have dropped their leaves. There are five or six red maples in my front yard. They are all bare, each one surrounded by a colorful pool of leaves, some yellow, some orange, and some brilliantly red. It was a wonderful fall, and I have been enjoying it. But there are still maples along the west side of my house and some out by the edge of the lake that are still look like completely leafed. And the leaves are yellow to green, so they have their own phenology, and they're not all connected by roots and made to dance to the same music, I guess, is one way of putting it. At any rate, the maples are definitely in decline. We're seeing fewer and fewer leaves on the maples. In my yard, the white oak, the bur oak, has dropped all of its leaves. There might be 5 or 10 leaves left on the plant, but basically it is done. The red oak, which is growing right next to it, is just a ball of orange and red and bronze and copper, and oh my word, it is so beautiful right now. And I think if you're looking, if you're driving this morning, or if you're looking around the countryside and you see these bronzy, reddish colors, you're probably looking at oaks, red oaks. And occasionally you'll find a northern pin oak. And I have a northern pin oak near my house that's quite large by pin oak standards. And it is fully in color and engaged right now, bronze. But some pin oaks will get absolutely scarlet, just as red as you can imagine, and especially the younger ones. And especially the ones that seems like when I drive west of here and get up in the sandy areas around Winnie and Ball Club Lakes, there are lots of bright red pin oaks. The other plants that I've noticed that are down below at the shrub level are round-leaved dogwoods, and not all of them, but there are some remaining round-leaf dogwoods that have these big, gorgeous burgundy leaves on them, just absolutely beautiful burgundy leaves. And besides those, there's another one with smaller leaves that is equally burgundy, and it is the downy arrowwood. And if you are confused about that one, look for a rather small leaf, probably 2 inches long and maybe an inch and a half wide. They're not quite circular, but they're quite wide and not very long. And they have definite teeth on them. And if you touch them, if you feel them, they have a kind of a nice, soft, fuzzy feel to them. And hence the name Downy Arrowwood. The arrowwood comes from the fact that that particular shrub grows a stem that doesn't taper much. And so if you were looking to make arrows for your bow, you would select nice straight arrowwood stems because you wouldn't have to do a lot of machining to make the thing the same size from one end to the other. And that saved a lot of work. So Downy Arrowwood and Roundleaf Dogwood are both shining quite red right now. Not all of them, but there are those that are really spectacular down below the upper growth. The other thing that is red right now and quite spectacular is the woodbine, the vine that grows up and around onto telephone poles, up spruce and balsam trees. Up in my yard, it's growing up onto some aspens. Wherever it grows, it is bright red right now, and it gives lie to the colors that are surrounding it, especially when it's up in a balsam or a spruce. You've got this bright red necktie up amongst all of these deep green leaves. I watched as yellow-rumped warblers moved through this past week, and they were busy hawking insects out of the trees, kind of sitting on the branches and then zipping out to grab something out of the air and zipping back into the tree for cover. And so they've been getting around. Winterberry, the northern holly, the berries are still quite bright red and have not been eaten by white-throated sparrows or robins yet. But I would expect that when they discover them or when they get hungry enough to turn to that food source, they will wipe them out. The leaves of the northern holly are tending toward green and just a hint of yellow in them. But interesting because they have these... They have this slow change, and they're a lot like the speckled alder in that neither one of them really goes very colorful in the fall. They just kind of fade and fall. And if you're looking at the speckled alders, the tag alders, you'll notice that the leaves are really coming off of those plants right now. And speaking of leaves coming down, right around the 1st of October, the beaked and American hazel lost all of their leaves, and that is so typical that I think it's like one of those things, the return of the blue heron is predictable. I know that it'll be somewhere right around the 1st of April. It'll be within 5 days of the 1st of April for me in the Grand Rapids area. It just is. That's how predictable they are. The beaked and American hazel are exactly the same. I can say with confidence right now that next year, right around the 1st of October, the beaked and American hazel will have lost their leaves. So check it out. It may not be that way in your yard, but it's going to be pretty close. I was doing a little looking at flowers this past week, and smooth aster, black-eyed Susans, last of the purple-stemmed asters, the frost sort of wiped out the large-leafed asters. There was a late goldenrod in bloom. There's still a few flowers out there. There's a little fleabane. And I'm not sure if it's common or daisy or there's actually a third one. And it was one of the fleabanes. A fleabane looks a little bit like an aster, except that the rays on the flower are just, there'll be 50 or more. And so that's kind of how you know fleabanes from asters. I have two different pagoda dogwoods. Two pagoda dogwoods. One is right in my yard in the open, and the other is tucked away along my driveway. And the one in my yard that's in the open turned deep purple this past week, and all of the leaves fell away. And it was really quite interesting because the pagoda dogwood gets very measured level. You get these levels. You got the upper branches, and they're kind of flat and sort of horizontal, and they're at one level, and then the next layer of branches below that is also flat, horizontal, and just a little bit lower, and then there's another layer even below that, and the tree turned from top to bottom, and all of the leaves fell off this past week, but the one that's growing on the driveway is a pale yellow-green, not at all looking like it's going to be red, and it still has, I'd say, 75% of the leaves that it had during the summer. So just different aspect, different places. You know, they behave differently based on, well, not only their genetics, but also where they are growing. I watched a small flock, probably 9 to maybe 12 blue-winged teal in my neighbor's pond, and boy, I couldn't help but start to salivate as a duck hunter in my past. They were a delicious bird to put on the table. Nice fat teal was always welcome at my table. Delicious. I saw 2 American magpies this week. I saw one last week on Blue Heron Drive, and this week there were 2, and I was thrilled. And I talked to another person who had been observing some magpies in the area, and I'm really excited about that. I hope that maybe there's stretching their home range, and they may be more common around the Grand Rapids area, which would suit me just fine. I think they're a beautiful bird. Very long tail, absolutely black and white. The 2 colors on that bird, they are either black or they're white in whatever location, and they really are stunning, stunning birds. They member the crow and raven family. They're corvids. They're corvids. I was going to say it took me a while to learn the word COVID because I kept wanting to say corvid because of the crows and the ravens and the blue jays. I'm still getting confused, but they are smart birds. And speaking of corvids and smart birds, my wife discovered a raven that had gotten West Nile disease. And so we observed it for a couple of days as it gradually left this earth and moved on to wherever ravens get to go. But it was really interesting. I went out and I sat with the bird, and I looked at it. I looked right into its eyes. I can't help but marvel at the intelligence of those birds. And I wanted that bird to know that I had a great affection for it, and that even though he was moving on, I was sorry to see him go. My neighbor says that the last of the, this is Marvin, by the way, Marvin said the last of the sandhill cranes came through about 4 days ago, and they've been turning up his fields, his hay fields, and they jam their beaks into the ground and they twist their heads, and a big chunk of sod turns up and they find, I don't know, ants or grubs or whatever it is they're eating, but they, in a short while, they can turn up a lot of soil. And he said they were in his yard, you know, not in the field anymore. They were between his garden and his house. And he went out and tried to scare them off, and finally he was able to push them away. But he and I have had a long running love affair with the sandhill cranes out on the fields by his house. I saw a clouded sulfur butterfly this past week, the yellow butterfly on the alfalfa plants. And on Sunday, I saw a darner, and I didn't get a good look at it, but it was a big, big dragonfly. And I don't know if that one is migratory or if it's just hanging out and waiting for the last days. But it's fun to see. And there's still a few autumn meadowhawks out, bright red bodies on the males, bright orange or gold bodies on the females. And I've seen them as late as November, so they frost doesn't seem to affect them too much. As long as they have a place to hide out, I guess they do pretty well. I've been marveling at the common milkweed pods that have split open, and now there are these gobs of white. As you're driving along, you see these gobs of white, and those are the feathers that will carry the seeds away from mom. and they are just spectacular right now. And every time we get a good windy day, like today will be another day when I expect that you'll see some common milkweed seeds blowing around. On my bird feeder, red-bellied woodpecker came back. I haven't seen him since midsummer, and I have enough white-throated sparrows to fill out probably both sides of a football team. I think there's probably 20 or more hanging out there. And yesterday I saw my last, well, I'm hoping it was my last it was a yellow jacket. I haven't seen a bumblebee in several days. The aspens around my house are approaching their peak color, and the big tooth aspens, and this is one I want you to look for. The big tooth aspens, they have a kind of a honey-colored bark as opposed to the whitish bark of the trembling aspen, but the big tooth aspen has these big leaves that are, they turn yellow, and then they sort of trend over towards orange. And especially this year, there seem to be a lot of big tooth aspen doing a really nice job of coloring up the countryside. So check that out. Final note, as Axel and Pearl and Ruth noted, there was a monarch butterfly in the Marcel area this past week. And my neighbor Marvin said that he had a monarch butterfly at his house yesterday. And of course, my first reaction was, are you sure that it wasn't a Compton's tortoiseshell? Because they're orange and black too. And he goes, no, he says, I know the difference. I just had read an article in the book and one of his magazines about the difference between the two. And he studied it very carefully. He insisted monarch. And this is not the latest that we've had reports of monarchs, but this is, I put it in my notes as last sighting. So if you have a monarch to report, let me know. And of course, you may be that one person out there who sees the absolute dead last hummingbird, and we're always interested in hearing about those as well. So if you have notes to share, please get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Stay tuned.